This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, I thank you for this wonderful service, this wonderful time, this wonderful day, Lord, that we can come to you, Lord. Lord, as the last worship song that we were singing, you are holy, you are holy, you are holy. Lord, we are not worthy to come to you, Lord. We can come to you only through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that we can call unto you. We can call unto your name. We can call you Abba, Father. We can reach to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you came to this world. As the song was saying, Lord, that yes, when you will come, all the eyes will see your glorious face. Lord, let your name be glorified. Let your name be magnified. Yes, Lord, because it's all about you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So today, we are going to see about the sermon. The name says, Have Your Loins Guarded. I don't know if everyone understands that, but it, in a simple English, I would say it's meaning be ready. Are you ready? So we will come into later what does that mean or where, why it is being used. But today I really want to more emphasize on our preparedness, on our readiness of the second coming of Jesus. When you will go for evangelizing with Dakian and Renee, the most of the time I have seen Dakian or heard from Dakian, he starts with this, that do you believe that Jesus is coming again for the second time? He's coming. And most of the people says that they believe. And of course, we do believe that Jesus is coming. The question is today is, are we prepared? Are we ready for that? From the early church, before the early church, when from the day of the Ascension, when Jesus went back to heaven to be with the Father, we are waiting for him. If we see from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 10, when Jesus was ascending, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. In the 11, it says, Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So yes, Jesus will come back. It's a famous thing I have heard in a lot of videos, and I have seen it in the internet. It says, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. So yes, Jesus is coming back. So today we will focus on the second part of Luke chapter 12. So if we see from the book of Luke chapter 12, we see that the chapter has been divided in some parts of sections where first Jesus starts with the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Then Jesus tells the parable, about the rich fool, the greediness against greediness. He was talking to the disciples. He was warning them against greediness. He was telling God's against greediness. Then Jesus was, warning against the worry, that we should not worry. I read it somewhere in a book. It says, it is sinful to worry. So sometimes when we are worried, or most of the time when we are doing sin because we are not trusting him. We are not fully trusting him. So yeah, the part where we will see today is from Luke chapter 12, verse 35, where Jesus warns about preparing of his coming. It's the readiness. It's to be watchful. So I'll start with Luke chapter 12, verse 35, where it says, Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. So when we will go through these verses, we will see four metaphors that Luke is trying to put in front of us. The first metaphor is readiness. Are we ready? Are we prepared in our spiritual life? Or maybe we are just walking around. We know that God is there. We know that Jesus is coming. And yeah, we are just taking it as a normal thing. It's just something which we can ignore. Are we really ready if Jesus is coming in the next moment? We don't know that. We are not here to speculate if someone, yeah, a lot of things are going on right now. For example, this pandemic, this corona situation. There are a lot of wars going on. There are a lot of things going on. And we see that how a lot of scholars, a lot of people try to match these things with the scripture in the Bible, with the times, and they say like the end time is near and the end time has come and the end time has come. But if you clearly look at the context, the Bible says there will be no sign. It's when God will come, when Jesus will come back, you will not expect him to come back. He will come at an unexpected time. So we are here to not speculate when he is coming, if it's an end time or not. We are here to see if we are ready. We should be ready, be dressed, ready for service. So this is one of the first metaphors. It says, be dressed and ready for service. If we see from the 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46, the power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. So this is where now you will understand, if you do not understand, about the lions, what I was talking about. So generally when in Jesus' time or before that, generally we did not have that time, people did not have the designer dress or the dress that we are wearing today. So they had a very long robe where they just put themselves, and then it was just, you know, it's full. It's full like an, I won't say a wedding gown, but it's full. Yeah, it was loose. And when they used to go into war, they used to fight, the hem, which was just the long, things used to, you know, come in between the legs and they will fall down. So generally how it happens is like when you are trying to run or when you are trying to fight or preparing for a fight, what they used to do is they used to take up their clothes and they used to tie it so that they can run and they can have big steps and kick, you know. I have a picture if you can show it. Yeah, so this is the one. You can see how they guard up their loins, you know. So it's like being prepared. See how they tie it, and yeah. So this is what one of the metaphor that Luke is telling us. He's saying like, are you prepared today spiritually? Are we prepared? Are we ready in our spiritual life? We see throughout the Bible, we will find this about our lions guarded, about our loins guarded, sorry, about being prepared, about being ready. If we see from the book of Exodus, where Egyptians were there under slavery for more than 200 years, and then on the Passover, Jesus, God came and told them that be ready, be prepared. We see it in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 11 to 13. It says, this is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, the same way the picture was shown, cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is Lord's Passover. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be signed for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. So this is how, when God was telling to the people of Israel, or the people of where the people were under slave, that today I am going to, tonight I am going to come, but I don't know when I am going to come. So be prepared, be ready. It can be any moment that the shadow of death will come and all the firstborn child will die. And it happened, and people were ready for that. People were prepared. Okay, so the second metaphor, if we see from the Luke chapter 12, verse 35, it says, keep your lamps burning. It says, keep your lamps burning. So I remember when I was small, like, maybe somewhere around 8 or 10 years old, I remember that I was brought up in a small village where I used to live there in the boarding school, actually. I was studying there in the boarding school. And the village was very small, so we had this shortage of power supply. So we had this electricity power cut every evening from around 5:30 or 6 o'clock to around 10:30, 11 o'clock in the night, and then we will have that, because they had some issues with the power supply. And I remember that we had our candles and we had our lanterns. I don't know if you know that, where you put the oil and then your. So we were asked to be ready, be prepared with putting the oil and then, you know, lighting the lanterns, because when there will be load shedding, you don't know when the power will be cut, and then you will look for the matchstick. Yeah, of course, we didn't have lighter that time, so we had the matchstick. So yeah, you'll have to, you know, ignite the fire and then use it, you know. So it was something. Then we were prepared. We used to prepare maybe 15 or 20 minutes before, you know, that when the power cut will be there, then we will have the light. We just have to turn it on, and then use it. So it's the same way what Luke is using this metaphor, keeps your lamps burning. So he's telling us, stop now, it's being done, it's over being living in the darkness. Now light up the lamp of the holy, the light up the lamp of the God that he has given you. Light up the lamp and spread the light, you know, watchful. And if we see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, how he says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. So it says, be watchful, be prepared, put your mind on the things that are from above, as the scripture says. Don't put your mind on the things that are of this earth. It happens that we find ourselves sleeping or being fall asleep in our spiritual life. We are not awake that moment. And here, what Luke is telling us, to be awake, to watch, to pray, because we cannot be awake without being in a prayer, without having a prayerful life. I don't know if you remember it or not. I had my last sermon, which was about the prayerful life. And yeah, that is what Luke is telling us about, you know, to be watchful, to be prepared, to be ready, to see actually in our personal life how we are living. Are we living according to the doctrines of God or according to the doctrines of the world? According to the doctrines what God wants or the will what God wants in our life or the will of our own fleshly desire, own selfish desire, own personal desire. Then we see the third metaphor, which is in Luke chapter 36, 12 verse 36, sorry. It says, like servants waiting for their master to return from a banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. So it says, waiting like a servant, serving like a servant. During the old times, during the times when this was written actually, the marriages used to happen for 7 days or 8 days. It used to last for 7 or 8 days. And when the master, when he used to leave his house, he used to tell his servants, I don't know when I will be coming back. Because it can happen if the master doesn't feel good, he will come back within 2 days. And the marriage will continue. It might happen that he won't come back for next 7 days. Or it might happen that he will come back within that day. Generally now what happens in our wedding, a normal wedding, you go and you will be there for half an hour or 1 hour and then you come back. But it was not like that in earlier days. It was like it used to long for 7, 8 days, you know. So it says like servants waiting for their master to return for a wedding banquet. So it's like the servants, as a servants, we are to wait for God to come. And it's not like just waiting and sitting. It's like serving for his kingdom faithfully. So taking up the responsibilities that God has given you. Taking care of the talents that God has given you. Taking care of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given you. That's what it is, waiting like a servant, serving like a servant. Because if we see in the next verse, it says, 37, it says, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. I'll stop here. And we see how it says that when Jesus will come, he will reward us, because when he will find us serving as a servant, working for his kingdom, walking towards his kingdom, working to build his kingdom, he will reward us. If we look at the next verse, which is Luke chapter 12, verse 38, it says, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready. Even he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. I'm pretty sure that it might have happened once or twice at least in your life that you were fully awake throughout the night. And what you will find it, that the most difficult time throughout the night to be awake is towards the daybreak. It is really difficult. And it says over here, even he comes in the middle of the night or towards the daybreak. And the metaphor that Luke is using over here, he says, when Jesus will come, it might happen that we will be going through a lot of sufferings, lot of pains. And through those pains, through those sufferings, What God is telling us to be prepared, to be ready, to be watchful, to look for Him. We see about the hour, we will see in Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 14, what Paul says. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deed of the darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. So yes, it says to wake up, to be prepared, to put away the darkness that we have in our light and put on the light, the holiness. To be watchful. So yes, if we look at our personal life, are we having this drunkenness, carousing, sexual immorality in our life? Are we having this dissension and jealousy in our life? Are we battling with that? Then God is telling us today that He is there for us. Put aside all those things and put on the holy armor of God. Be prepared. We will see the next verse, which is taken from the First Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Watch out. Watch out what you are doing daily. Watch out what you are thinking. Watch out what you are watching with your eyes and hearing. Watch for your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So it's like, if you are watchful, if you are prepared. In our intercession group, we have a person who sometimes he has a gift of the watchtower, where sometimes it feels like, why does he always get the negative thing when we are interceding? But when you think about it, he is warning us. He is preparing us. He is telling us that this thing is going to come. We have to prepare in our spiritual life. So it helps in our small groups, for example. It helps when someone who is praying and he feels that this thing might come, as a situation might come, and he will prepare us. He might say something, say some word, which will strike your heart and say, like, this word was for you. This was from God. And you start reconciling. You start, it will wake you up. It will wake you up at that time. So yes, when we are watchful, it will help us that the people who are surrounded, or the brothers and sisters who are surrounded by us, or who are surrounding us, will help us that they will be alerted by us. We will be watchful. And then it says in the next verse in Luke chapter 12, verse 39, but understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken. And the next verse says, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So it says, no one knows when Jesus is coming back. No one knows of that time, of that hour. We should be prepared. And the most amazing thing is, We are excited for that time. We are waiting unto him. And when he will come unexpectedly, it will not be surprising for us. It will not be surprising for us because we have been waiting for him. We are waiting for him. It will be surprising. It will be surprising for those people who are living in ignorance, who are living in darkness, especially those people who knows God, who believes God, but are not prepared spiritually. And that will be a time when we cannot reconcile, when we cannot come back, if we are not prepared. So the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. We will see in many parts of the scripture, it says about that Lord will come like a thief. And when thief comes to steal, of course Jesus will not come to steal from this world, but he will come like a thief. It's just a metaphor. We do not expect, we don't know when thief is coming. We will see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 2, it says, "For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." We'll see again, it is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 4, "But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief." We won't be surprised. If you are prepared, if you are ready, if you are waiting, you will not be surprised. In the next verse, we see the same thing in Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. "Look, I come like a thief," God says. So it's those who are faithful, those who are ready, those who are prepared, those who are waiting like a servant, those who are serving like a servant, those who are watchful, it won't be a surprise for those people. It won't be a surprise. We will see from Matthew chapter 24, verse 44 to 51. It says, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns." So it's talking about the believers. It's talking about us. It's talking about us with whom God has given us the talents, whom God has given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whom God has given us the responsibilities for working for the kingdom of God. Are we faithfully doing it? It says, "It will be good for the servants whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions." So God has put you and me in charge of all his possessions. He has given us the responsibility for building his kingdom. "But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, 'My master is staying away a long time,' and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he do not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of." Every time, every sentence, it warns us. It's telling us to be prepared. It's telling us God will come in an unexpected hour. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So if we see the scripture where it is written, when people will call unto his name and people will say, God, we did this, we did those things, we did those things which were spoken by you, which were your will. We did a lot of miracles, but God will say to them, I don't know you, who you are. So it's really important in a believer's life to see, to really retrospect that, are we living according to what is God's will, according to the doctrines, or on what doctrines we are living. It's about the relationship. Are we really living according to what God wants us? Are we really taking care of the gifts? Are we really taking care of the talents? Are we really taking care of God's kingdom? Because there is a saying, with power comes more responsibilities, more power, more responsibilities. So yes, it's our responsibilities. And then Luke chapter 12 verse 41 says, Peter was bit like when you go to some meeting or somewhere, and when you feel like, is this guy speaking to me directly or is it an indirect, pointing to me? And then Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? And you see how Jesus answers. He said, the Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servant to give them their food allowance at proper time? It will be good for the servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. And then it says in 46, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. I don't know how is it with you, but when this pandemic thing started, I remember it was somewhere around at the end of March when we stopped going to work. We started working from home. I was really asking God, is this the end time? Is this the time, Lord? He didn't respond. He didn't reply to me. He didn't answer my prayer. But when I was praying, it took me almost 5 months or 6 months when I was praying. I was asking a lot of people that, what do you think about this pandemic? What is God's plan? What is it happening? And when I was asking a lot of questions to a lot of people to know that what God has been speaking to them, I got an answer from God when I was praying, and it says, don't look around what is going on. Look at me. Focus on me. Seek my face. And yes, that is what we are to do. A lot of things are going on. If you open a news channel or a media thing, a lot of things are going on. It will divert your mind. You will have a lot of things to see and a lot of things to watch. But are we really focusing on God? Are we really seeking His face? Are we really growing in our prayer life? Are we really spending time with Him? Or are we just looking on the things which are below? Because it says multiple times that he will come at an unexpected hour. And then it says in Luke chapter 46, I'll read Luke chapter 46, 12 verse 46. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. So there is a separate place for the unbelievers, which you and me, we know. And it says he will assign us to that place where we will have a lot of pain. It's an eternal fire. And then the next verse it says, the servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. So these are the people, the believers, who knows everything but lives in an ignorance. Then it says, but the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. So over here, if you see, it says about the people who has never listened or who has never heard about the gospel, or they haven't heard about the gospel. They are still living in the darkness. And it says, but the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So it's about us. It's talking about us. Luke is telling us to, he's warning us, he's telling us to be prepared to watch on what doctrines we are leaving. If we see Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 26. This is about the thing that I just want to say. It might happen that there are a lot of people who doesn't know this, who cannot relate these things. He might say like, okay, I can understand, but I do not have a proper relationship. I don't know where to start. I don't know where can I start or when can I start. For those people, I want to say, if you are watching us online or if you are sitting over here, there are two things that will make you prepared, that will make you ready. And these are two S, which is one is salvation and one is sanctification. Salvation is something which we read from the Gospel of John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have an everlasting life. God is telling us, come to me. God is telling you, come to me if you have burden. God is going to relieve that. If you are having something which is eating you up, which doesn't give you peace, God is inviting you. God is calling you, come unto me. He will give you the eternal life. And the eternal life we can receive only through Jesus Christ. If we believe that he died for us and he was resurrected on the third day. The chapter that we were going to read, which is Luke chapter 9, 23, verse 26, it talks about sanctification. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. So first, we have the salvation. The second, the process of sanctification starts. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. You have to deny yourself. You have to deny your fleshly desire. You have to deny your own will. You have to deny a lot of things which you really like, which you really love doing so, which is something which you are tempted of. You have to deny those things and take up their cross daily. And take the cross daily. And taking up the cross is not a light thing. It's really heavy. At least, it is really heavy, and you cannot do that. We only can do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. And says, follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. So yes, what is good if we run behind the worldly things, if we run behind all the things that we desire, our fleshly desire? At the end of the day, those are not the eternal things. We should focus on the eternal things. We should focus on the eternal kingdom. We should focus on the things which are from above, not from the below, or the earthly things, or addiction. You get addicted to those things when you start slowly with little bit. Okay, I need this maybe today, and then tomorrow I'm done. I will not do that. And then again, you watch something, you do something, you drink something, and then you think like, okay, I'm done. From tomorrow. And then slowly, you don't realize you will find it yourself addicted to those things. And that's the trap it is talking about. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. So those things will come. Those will not divide between a believer and an unbeliever, or a believer who lives in an ignorant world or an ignorant life. It will come to everyone. It will not even leave the person, or it will not even leave a pastor. It will come to everyone. It will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So in order to stand in front of the Son of Man, this is the process which starts after salvation, the sanctification. And this will continue till the day you are on the earth. In the 2nd Peter, we see 2nd Peter 3 verse 14, it says, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. So today, if you are struggling, today if you are struggling with something, today if you are in a bondage and you want to get rid of it, God is telling you, I am there for you. Come to me. He will remove that from your, he will remove that darkness from your life, so that you will be found spotless. You will be found blameless. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 11 to 12 it says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. So it's giving us, it's asking us, what kind of life do we want to live? So my dear friends, it's about us. It tells us to be prepared, to be ready, to take care of the responsibilities and the talents and the skills and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we can use for the kingdom of God, for building the kingdom of God. Are we watchful today? Are we ready today? If you are not, then I would like to invite you after the sermon. There will be people for the ministry who can pray for you. Please don't wait for someone. Please don't wait saying that I will do it tomorrow. Because God can come at any time. It will be an unexpected arrival. But we as a brother and sister, we don't want you or me to be surprised. Because we are waiting for him. So the question with you today, are you ready? Have your lungs been guarded? Think about it. And if you think that you are struggling and you don't have a relationship with God, we are here for you. Please come after the sermon and we'd like to pray for you. With this, thank you. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.